The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
This week we are covering season 3, episode 3, titled The Pack. Oh.
You know, I'm just going to throw out my general thoughts real quick. And just to say, it was a hard episode this week. And, you know, this show can be so sweet and so heartfelt, but then brutal in the next moment.
Yep.
This show definitely had emotions for me all over the place. And that's about all I can say without like starting to go into details. But this was rough. I was like, what are you doing to me this week?
Yeah, it was, got lots of thoughts. So I'm excited to talk about this one. But yeah, it was, you know, we were talking about last week. It's like, you know, there's some sweet moments. It kind of felt like, you know, filler, but that's okay every now and then. And then this episode really got things moving. Well, we got some major like backstories and we got some really big things that happened. Again, we'll talk about that, like, change the trajectory of the rest of this show, and I'm very intrigued to see where things go from here, but yeah, definitely set up a lot of really major things, a lot of heavy emotions in different places, so I'm interested to talk about this one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I'm gonna have some emotions, maybe even talking about some of the things, but I know, even on second watch, knowing what was going to happen, right? It was still just hit me like it did watching the first time. I was like, yeah, I even know what's going to happen. And it didn't feel any less, you know, either whether it was anger or sadness or just a sweet moment, you know, being heartfelt, still hit me the same. So, since we have so much to talk about, let's go ahead and get started this week. What is your first point that you want to talk about?
All right. Let's see. I'm going to go with a smaller one, but one that was interesting throughout this one. Just call this one Sing versus Jeopard. And their dynamic this episode was really interesting, where they're like very at odds, but while also trying to work together and, you know, get this same mission accomplished. And it was really interesting to see, you know, when they're in the van and they're just discussing what's going on and Gus realizing, you know, this is, you know, why Zhang wants me. This is what's going on once they, you know, talk about who she is and what she's doing. And it seems like Gus is, you know, capable of understanding the situation a little bit and knowing that he's important for a reason. But then it's the way that Sing and Jeopard kind of oppose each other with the same goal in mind that I thought was really interesting. As, yeah, the fate of humanity is resting on this mission, at least according to Sing, as he seems very adamant, like, it is a now or never situation. This is what we have to do, and we have to do it as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible, or we're all doomed. And Jep is kind of still in that protective mode of Gus, where he's like, okay, that might be true, but that's also a lot to put on one boy, which, I mean, I would agree with that, But also, if you're with Sang, it's like, but if it is the absolute truth, then it is necessary to acknowledge these, like, the direness of this situation. And, you know, you can't treat him, you can't treat Gus like a little child forever. Like, if it's really that serious, which it seems like it is, like, Gus is growing up. Let's grow up with him. And we've got to make sure we're doing what we're doing as fast as we can. And so Sang, I think, is right. And I do see Sing's point of view, and I agree with him. But also, yes, it's life and death, but he's being very aggro about the whole thing. Like, he just comes across so intense. Like, every little, like, problem that they come across, and he's just like, oh, now we're all doomed, and humanity's all gonna die out, and it's all your fault because we did this. And he just, he has no chill in him. Like, he's just very, every little, you know, fork in the road and bump in the road has got him just spinning out, and he's just lashing out at everybody else, like, we can't do this. You know, they come up with an idea, and he's like, basically, like, are you an idiot? I already told you that we only have this time frame. And they're kind of getting sick of it. And then Jep, I think, is just tired of being yelled at. But then Becky, on the other hand, she's also, I guess, team Jep in this, but she's almost like this little devil on his shoulder, where she's just like, we can't trust him at all. Leave him to die, leave him behind, kill him. Which is a little aggressive, too. You know, she straight up at one point is just like, Jep, you're going to have to take him out. You know, do what's best for the group and commit a murder on this beach right now. And Jep seems like, okay, if I have to, but I don't think he ever was going to do anything. Like, that's just not, that's not him. That's not Jeopard. And so I was a little, you know, Becky's a little aggressive as well, but... You know, Jeopard instead goes and talks with Sing, and really, I mean, he's standing there over him, and he's looking at him in that way that Sing picks up on what's going on, but Sing turns it on, because Jep really is a gentle giant for the most part. Like, he can be very, you know, aggressive or protective when he needs to be, but in this instance, I mean, he doesn't feel, you know, that him or Gus or anybody's directly, like, under attack or in danger or threatened by Sing. He's just kind of questionable of him, but... There's that moment where he's staring over Sing like, what, can I do something if I have to? What, you know, if I have to take this guy out, do I do it right now? And Sing kind of picks up on that vibe and turns it back around on Jeopard in this really weird way. I was like, this guy, because the fact that, like, you just see how big Jeopard is in comparison to him when they're standing there, where he's like,
yes.
Sing is like not even like chest height, like. Completely head cocked all the way up just to look him in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and Sing is still like a little too cocky and smarmy with someone that much bigger with him. Just like, you know, well, in my visions, you weren't even there. It was just me. And who knows if you'll even make it to Alaska, like patting him on the shoulder, like, huh, buddy. I'm like, okay, I can tell you don't think Jep's going to do anything to you, but I put myself in that position. Like, even if I know that Jep's not going to hurt me, just the fact that he's physically capable of it would make me be a little more reserved in that moment. Like, you're overstepping just a little bit there, Sing.
I agree. I was like, it's one thing to, you know, have, like, confidence with his statement when he's like, you know, I'm going on this trip. I'm getting in this boat, and there's, you know, you're not going to stop me. But then he took it a little further, and like you said, and, you know, tells him about his visions, which, again, I know Jep doesn't quite buy into them, all this woo-woo, as I think he called it a few episodes ago. But I think he is still concerned, because I think Jep has been concerned from the beginning about whether he can really continue with the trip. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to give up just a few episodes ago, you know, and say, like, I can't make this, but he's forging ahead. You know, because Sweet Tooth really needs him. You know, Gus is like, I need you. And, you know, you need, so he's like, all right, fine, we're doing this. But I think he has his own internal doubts about that, too. And, you know, I wasn't surprised when Sing picked up on it. I'm like, you know, it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to pick up the vibes and those laser eyes, especially that Becky's had, you know, on him.
Yeah.
And how they feel about him. And it was interesting because it was like, when Jep was kind of standing over him, and Sing was like getting the motor strapped to the boat, and, you know, and it's like, it's almost like he was trying to gear himself up. Like, can I actually do this? Like, he's trying to get whatever feelings he had inside to like test himself, like, could I actually do this? And I'm like, is he going to do this right here on the beach? Like, you know, like, what is Becky going to do with the kids? And, you know, and then how do they explain it to Gus? Like, where is Sing? You know, I mean,
why is it singing on the boat? Oh, he went to a farm upstate just last minute. That's where he decided to go.
Right. Like, do they have a plan for how this is going to be explained? And I really didn't think Jeff was going to do anything either. But I do think that Sing was a little too overconfident in his statement and thinking that nothing was going to happen to him, because I'm like, dude, now y'all are on a boat in the ocean, on this tiny little rinky dink sinking boat. You know, Jep could just like push you right over, or, you know, lean the boat over a little to the side and knock him over and make it like an accident or something, or, you know, and what are you going to do? You know, there's nothing. You're out in the middle of the ocean. So I'm like, I wouldn't be pushing my luck. Honestly, especially, yeah, with someone of, you know, his size, or if he oversteps himself, you know, as far as Gus is concerned, because I think Jeff would do what he needed to do really to protect Gus, but yeah. I mean, Sing hasn't really done anything overt to threaten Gus, yeah, other than just like putting to him like, you're somehow going to save the world. I don't know how yet, but you know, you are somehow the key to saving the world, which again, they leave so, you know, so vague about what all of that really means.
Yeah.
So yeah, very interesting interactions between Jep and Sing. Golly. Well, that leads me into my first point. So you were talking about Bear, and I hadn't mentioned it in any of our previous episodes, but I was a little uncomfortable with her character this episode. Mm-hmm. And mostly because she was suggesting, hey, you know, kind of waving her head towards Sing, like, you got to take him out, you know? And I'm just thinking, you're what, like 15? Isn't she like supposed to be like 15 or 16?
Yeah.
In the show. Or in maybe in the comics too. And, you know, so they're having that conversation when they're at the van getting all of their stuff. And she was so aggressive about it. And I feel like her paranoia has really been getting to me, but this week it really kind of hit the edge for me. I'm like, you need to calm down, yeah, you know, a little bit. You know, I'm not really sure if there's something else underlying to it that's made it escalate, but I'm just like, you know, and why do we have to kill Sing? And why are you taking, or, you know, trying to get Jep to do it for you? Like, if you want to off someone, then do it yourself. You know, I'm not advocating for that by any means, but why would you put that on someone else? That,
yeah,
that's not great either. And why do we have to kill him? Why can't we just like knock him out, tie him up? I mean, is that really the only solution? Like, do you have to take it that far if you don't want him to be on this journey with you? Just take him into the house and, you know, alone, and overtake him and tie him up, you know, and leave it at that. So I don't know. Becky was really kind of getting to me this episode with how, like you were saying, aggressive about, yeah, you know, we have to kill Sing. And I'm like, look, I get it. He was, you know, he's not 100% proved himself yet to me. I feel like he's kind of on the path there a little bit. I mean, this episode and all of his talks about these visions and stuff. And I'm like, you know, it's okay to have a feeling and thinking that, you know, if you're using the history of this cave and this journal, and you know, you're connecting all these dots, that yeah, we probably need to get there, but he's hanging so much on these visions, and I'm like, I don't know how much I really believe, you know, it myself, but still, I don't think he deserves to like be taken out or anything based on any of that. So I don't know, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, other than, I mean, just kind of what I was saying, yeah, that I get the questioning of him. I mean, again, even though, as we kind of figure, you know, Becky and Jep haven't met him yet and haven't really seen what he's done, but Gus and Wendy, I'm sure, have told them plenty about the things that he did to their friends, the other hybrids, and Gus's interactions with him. Like, yeah, that he's done things that might not paint him to be the most trustworthy person, but also it does seem that maybe he has changed, or, you know, he's, like you said, he's done nothing overtly, like, threatening to Gus. Like, it very much seems like he's trying to help Gus with a mission. He's like, here's how we help humanity. Here's how you're the key. Here's how I get you there safely. So it is weird to kind of just, like, really be as aggressive towards him as Becky has been, but I get not trusting him. Absolutely do understand that, but... Like, maybe talk to Gus. Maybe, like, how much do you trust him? Like, Singh actually has that moment where he's like, how about we let Gus decide? And I think that speaks a lot for him, too, that he's putting trust in Gus a little bit. Maybe the others should, too. If Gus is willing to work with Singh, maybe don't consider just taking him out every second that you can. Like, Gus has proven himself to have a pretty good head on his shoulders. Trust him, if anything.
That's a good point. Whenever he was talking about when Singh was kind of mentioning that, I'm like, yeah, why don't you talk to Gus a little more, or talk to him about it? Because, yeah, he's, for the most part, I think, got a pretty good head on his shoulders. He's matured a lot. He's grown a lot. He's demonstrated, you know, his ability to kind of navigate probably more mature situations than what he should have to be in, because he is just a kid. But he seems to handle things pretty well, so that's a good point. Like, let's talk about that. But yeah, I was like, you're just making me so uncomfortable, Becky. Like, I don't like this paranoia, this aggression. I get it. We don't trust him. That's valid, especially considering what he's done. But just seemed so extreme. It was hard to you know, like her. This episode. What's your second point?
All right, it's kind of two in one, if that's okay.
Of course,
talk about
always
Nag's Reef, the whale song, the boat, and then even a little just thoughts and stuff about the new character we got in this episode by the name of Coral. But so kind of all of that stuff there. Which, when they got to, you know, they hear the transmission over the radio of, you know, this is our last, you know, time we're taking off. There's still time to get here. They still didn't give an exact time they were leaving, but they're like, we're leaving today, and it's the last time, so there's still time. So, of course, when they arrive there, and everything just looks deserted, and there's nobody there, and you realize the boat left. At first, I thought that they had, like, caught, like, an old transmission that was just looping somehow, and the boat had been gone forever.
Like that's...
Yeah. But then you find out that wasn't the case, because Coral is there to tell them, like, oh, it literally left, like, an hour ago, and, like, there were people there, so they did just miss it, which still really sucks, but at least it gives you that, like, storyline of, like, oh, there's a chance that we can catch it, and that's kind of what they... decide to try to do. So, going on, you know, Coral's able to try to reach the boat on the radio, which I have some thoughts about that. We'll talk about it in a second. But it was interesting, again, with Coral. I thought she was an interesting character. We probably won't see her again. I say that a lot with a lot of these characters, and then sometimes we do, so who knows? Maybe she'll pop up. But, yeah, this, like, nomadic hippie type just kind of traveling around with her brother's dog, and... Really, the only goal, she's like, I just got to go catch some SoCal waves. That's what I'm here for. I'm like, all right, you go do that. Yeah, she was interesting, but then she's kind of, like, hesitant to help. She's like, yep, sorry, there's nothing I can do. And then Gus, it's what he does well, is talking to her, convinces her to, like, help them try to reach the boat, try to reach the whale song one more time, and she's reaching out to him. But the things that she was telling them, you know, she said, oh, you didn't want to get on that thing anyway. It was packed to the brim. There's no room or anything anyway. Which then, jumping ahead a little bit, I do wonder about that, because she says there was nobody there. But then whenever they reached the boat on their paddle boat at the end of the episode, it didn't look to be super packed. So I don't know what that means. It's a little ominous. Also, as long as it took them to restore that boat and have the conversations and plan, they should have never been able to reach that thing unless something had happened. So I don't know if I trust that the whale song is the safe haven they think it is by the time they get to it at the end of the episode. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Having a hard time trusting anything in this show.
Right.
And a lot of suspension of disbelief had to be had in this episode, too. I know we're creeping up on the halfway point of the final season, so we've got to get our people in the places that they need to be. But, you know, thinking that they were, when they left Ven and his family and Theo, and that they were able to cross the Rockies in the time that they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, that seems a little unbelievable. And they're still going on. I don't know what the gas mileage is on that van either. And, you know, how far that was able to get them. The boat, like, I'm not a boat person, but I'm not, you know, but I'm not 100% sure that that boat was seaworthy by the time that they got finished with it. So a little bit of suspension of disbelief that they were able to actually repair that boat.
Right.
In that amount of time, and that it was actually going to float. I feel like the minute they sat their butts in it and it hit water, it was going to start
crumble,
like fall apart.
Yeah.
And also, if they're in a coastal town / port or whatever area, is really the only option they have is a boat that's being used as a planter.
Right. Like just go to the nearest neighborhood and look in sheds and stuff, and there's probably plenty of boats in like a suburban neighborhood somewhere around there.
It's gotta be another. I mean, maybe they didn't have the time for it there, but it's just like, really, they're in a coastal area. There's always a lot of boats.
Yeah.
So yeah, had to kind of, you know, suspend the disbelief, and then, you know, them catching the boat as well. You know, knowing that it already had like an hour's, ahead of them. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried. It's just, you know, everything is not going to be easy on this journey. It just won't be. It feels like every time they get another point in their destination, it has to be something difficult. It has to be something challenging. It can't just be like smooth sailing, you know, to Alaska. There's got to be those challenges along the way.
Yeah. But with Coral, I did like that character. Again, I don't know if we'll see her, but again, after this, but it was a really, you know, interesting. I liked her story. I mean, it was a little sad. I mean, obviously, you know, talking about her brother and going to check on her brother, and unfortunately he had already passed, but then the dog Sarge was there with him, and she just took him in as her own and now travels around with the dog. I thought that was adorable and really sweet.
Yeah, I did too.
She was very much like the save the oceans kind of person. Like, that's, you know, what she did. I liked the line. I thought it was, it's, you know, the dark humor of this kind of show that, you know, it turned out the best way to keep our ocean clean was to get rid of all the people. Like, yeah.
You know, I couldn't agree more with that statement. We really are just like the worst, you know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine how
three
much.
Three words, Pacific Garbage Patch.
Yes. I mean, just in general, like, I can't imagine like the amount of pollution that has been reduced since the crumble, you know, the amount of plastics in our oceans. Yeah. I say give it over to the hybrids. They they deserve to take it over, because humans
it's
are
awful.
It's
their time now.
Yeah, humans are awful. Yeah, I liked Coral. I want to believe she was a good person, and I liked her story. But yeah, I don't know. Okay, golly, where do we want to go next? Let's just kind of get into some meaty parts here, and some heartbreaking, and I don't even know. I don't even think I have all the words to describe, but a big reveal that Rosie is the mama to this wolf pack. big reveal.
Yeah.
So we meet her. She's got these, you know, tiny little, they look newborn, adorable. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh. I just could not stop oohing and aahing over these cute, adorable little wolf babies.
Yeah.
But she's on desperate times. I mean, it's pretty obvious from, you know, the state of the trailer that she's in. It's like she's running short on things. She's all on her own. I can't imagine, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and even on your own in like the best of circumstances, I mean, having like four babies
yeah.
to have to care for.
Quadruplets on her own, post-apocalyptic. But she literally had a little litter of puppies.
That was interesting, to say the least. But but I'm like, even under the best of circumstances, it's, you know, not, you know, you're not just in the beginning of an apocalypse or, you know, even with support, it's very hard, you know, raising babies. And she's doing it alone and under the worst of circumstances. You know, the society has fallen and she's running low on food and she's not making it. You know, she's desperate. And, you know, her Mama Zhang, awful, awful woman, tracks her down. And, you know, I could see her wheels turning as her mom's talking, you know, when they're talking outside. And, you know, she's like, well, I see you're still doing your art. You know, you can see she's, you know, so desperate. And when her mom talks about like, oh, well, they sound hungry. And then just like in the next breath, well, gotta go. Mm-hmm. Bye. You know, not even offering like, can I offer you some food? You know, even if she didn't want to bring her home, but she didn't even offer like, hey, I brought food. Hey, I brought things that might help you. Like, she's just like, fine. Daughter, you want to survive on your own, and you know, you do that. But you know, she is not happy about her choices. She chastises her and blames her. It's so weird that she mm-hmm. like blames her because she had these hybrid kids, and she's like, it's happening to everyone. Like, it yeah. wasn't like just me, and I made a mistake, which again, not like she had any control over it anyway, the fact that her children turned out to be hybrid children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's blaming her for being pregnant and then the fact that they're hybrids. But it was interesting because when she did, you know, ask her mom if she wanted to come in and see them, she kind of softened for just a moment. And I was like, holy crap, is there like a human in there somewhere? Right.
Yeah, I have the notes that she almost has a warm moment with her grandson, Bruno, till he bites her finger and then she remembers that she's pure evil.
Yeah, she was awful. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like she might be human after all. And then, you know, sweet little Bruno bites her on the finger, which, I mean, I don't know. Babies have bitten me on the finger before and, you know, don't have that reaction. Although they don't have, like, puppy teeth, but mm-hmm. you know, still. So, you know, Rosie ends up, you know, she's got this impossible choice, and I don't know, I'm so conflicted with her choice. I understand her situation. You know, if she stays where she's at, her babies could starve.
Yeah.
She could starve. She may already be starving. Or does she choose to go with her mom, who she seems to already know and has probably already demonstrated how awful of a person that she is. I don't know if Rosie knew how her babies were going to be treated. And that was the risk that she was taking, or if that was a shock to her, like it was to me. Cause the rage, I can't even tell you, like, the rage that I felt seeing those babies carted off into crates.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's like, you know, leave the onesies. And she's like, what are they going to be wearing? And she said, muzzles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so conflicted because it's like, I get where Rosie's coming from. I get where she is lonely. She is desperate for family and for help. But at the same time, knowing how her mother is and her attitude towards hybrids, that you're putting your children knowingly in that situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I can't, I don't think I could say what I would do because I've, you know, you don't know how you would act until you're actually in that situation. And I don't think I'll ever give birth to hybrid babies or be in a post-apocalyptic situation to be able to speak to that. But I don't know. I was really conflicted. I could understand why she did what she did. I just don't know that I could actually do that knowing that that's how her babies, because look at them now. I mean, they've literally been treated. I mean, we haven't seen the full extent of, and I hope we don't. I don't think I could take it. But right. I've seen how Zhang treats that little hybrid girl in the barn.
Yeah.
And the disregard that she has for hybrids in general. So I can't imagine the treatment that those boys have been through.
Right.
And that you are knowingly putting your children through that. So I don't know. But that was hard. Yeah, that was a hard watch.
It's tough. Yeah, it's like this, you know, that life versus no life at all, or what is, you know, those choices that she's got to make. But I mean, you see, like, it seems like she was kicked out for getting pregnant and then having hybrids. And it's like, she takes this kind of chance to almost plead to be taken back into the family. And maybe she does know that that means that her kids are not going to be treated well, but, you know, better than starving in a trailer out, you know, in a field somewhere. I don't know. You know, this, it's a hard decision. And I do, you know, so you just put a lot of hatred and blame on Zhang, which, yeah, good. That's like, she deserves that. But I mean, Rosie is an interesting hated and sympathetic character at the same time, where I'm like, I feel bad for her and I get it to a degree, but also all of these years, I mean, because the pack, they're probably, I mean, because it seems like it wasn't too long, you know, after the crumble that she had them, so they had to be 9-10 years old at this point. And, like, after, you know, 9 or 10 years of having them, like, just continuing to go along with this and let them be treated as animals more than humans, and that she seems to just, like, go along with it, you know, also put some blame on her, I would say.
Yes. Yes. I don't think I conveyed that enough, but I can see her desperation in the beginning, and maybe she had rose-colored glasses on and thinking we'll get home and she won't be that way with, like, her grandkids, you know, because these hybrid boys are her family. And so maybe she thought she could change her mom a little, at least as far as her boys were concerned. I don't know. We don't have any of that information. I'm just, you know, trying to, and again, maybe it's just a state of mind that she was in, but yeah, it's a good point. So I'm definitely not letting her off the hook by any means, because she is an interesting character. I did sympathize with her in the beginning and felt, you know, from a mother's perspective, what, you know, the desperation that, you know, you'd be willing to do anything, you know, for your kids. But I really think in that moment, it was almost more for her than it was for her kids.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think I could do that if I knew that that's how that they were going to be treated. Because I can't imagine what was done to these boys to make them as feral as what they are.
Right. I mean, they're just, it seems like they've been raised as animals. They're just trackers, hunters, killers, just forced to kill. Like, and that's what makes it, like, they're terrifying. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, this underlying, like, heartbreak and sadness to them once you realize the situation. Because you're like, yeah, they're horrifying monsters in the grand scheme of, like, they're just killers and they're hunters and that's what they're used for. But then, like I said, they're 9 or 10 year old boys underneath that also that are, like, they could have been normal kids, but instead have been forced into this kind of life. And that's really heartbreaking.
Yeah. And for her to sit there all those years and allow it to continue. I mean, if you're lucky enough to be back at this ranch with all the resources and this wealth, I would be spending time like trying to gather in secret as many resources as I could, and I'd be freaking out of there, taking my babies and getting the hell out of there. No way was I going to stay there like that. So she's definitely not off the hook. No. But I do have a little bit more sympathy for her, at least in that beginning, in that moment. But no, yeah. I think she's as culpable.
Oh, absolutely.
With, you know, for how those boys, you know, turned out, and that she was, I think, a little bit more selfish in that moment than just thinking of her boys.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, that said, though, I still think that there is an opportunity for a redemption arc for her, which was not something I was expecting before this episode. I don't think I ever expected Rosie to be one that I would feel sorry for and see a redemption arc for, but I'm all for seeing how it plays out, especially even the end of this episode is tragic in a way there. But I'm intrigued to see how that plays out, that there could be something, some kind of growth out of that for her.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. It'll be interesting to see. She is an interesting character.
Yeah.
For sure. So, I don't know. What is your next point?
I'll actually just continue on with that, because I had that as one of my points, was Rosie and the pack, the wolf kids.
Okay.
So I've mentioned some of those things. Yeah, I was just talking about, like, we see the flashback and her kind of origin story there with them and where they came from. And then seeing, yeah, maybe this redemption of them. So we really just talk more about, like, the end of the episode with what we get with Rosie and the pack. Which, of course, first, bring up Tex again. I was very surprised that Rosie was trusting Tex to be the one to get a non-lethal shot on Gus, because,
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Their dynamic seems, the whole family dynamic, honestly, seems like the entire family is just waiting with bated breath for Tex to screw up so they can, like, kill him or get rid of him or kick him out or something. Like,
I know, that dude is on thin ice with that family.
So I was really surprised that Rosie was like, yeah, you're the one that's going to be shooting at the kid that we need alive to save everything that my mother's trying to do, and you're going to be the one that's going to, yeah, just get him in the leg and take him down. Like, oh my really?
Gosh. Zigzag, Gus. Zigzag.
Serpentine! But then after that happens, you see Rosie finally, like, break. Where she knows what's coming. She knows the wrath of her mother. She knows this. And at that point, it's like, okay, we've lost Gus again. Like, he's gotten away. Like, this baby's going to come as a hybrid. And I think she's just like, I don't want to be there when that hits the fan. I'm done. Doesn't Seriously. Answer the phone, breaks the phone. She's just like, you know, Tex, you can go home and deal with her. I'm out. I'm just going to take my boys and live by the beach. I can't do this anymore. Which is good for her, finally. Like,
yeah, finally.
Like a final straw. Like, and maybe there's some kind of, you know, redemption, you think that, like, I don't know, after all of those years, can you bring those kids back to being any kind of normal child, or are they too far gone? Are they too feral? I don't know. But, well, it'd be interesting to see where this goes, because, of course, you know, we'll talk about Wendy and Becky a little bit more, I'm sure. But they, after their little moment, and, you know, they feel like, okay, it's time for them to leave and go reunite with the other kids and we can be happy. And then, no, because in comes one of the wolves. I don't know which one. It wasn't credited as it being Bruno, but the credits, they only credited one person as the pack, which I'll talk about that because it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. But but whichever one of the wolves it was, you know, comes in, and then Becky ends up stabbing it, maybe fatally. We don't know. It's still alive by the end of the episode, but not in good shape.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's self-defense. I mean, of course, she has to protect herself, so I don't really blame Becky in that situation. But, I mean, she stabs the kid, which puts her in a really bad situation with Rosie, obviously. But, like, you can tell, like, there's this, like, little moment, like, after she gets that stab in, like, the eyes change, where she, like, I think even Becky is looking at it and going, like, that's a kid. Besides yeah, just like a not, monster.
Because they didn't know that these were hybrid wolves. They just knew there were wolves.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, when you're being attacked, and it's not, and these hybrids are very much on the Bobby side of hybrids. They're not like Gus and Wendy. where they have more human features, they are very much, look very much like wolves. By, you know, just by their features alone. So, yeah, and in the heat of moment when you're being attacked like that, how is she able to distinguish in that moment until it was too late? Yeah, right. For sure.
So, I hope, honestly, I really hope that they're able to save this kid's life. Like, yeah, he's basically just a murderous wild animal, but again, put that blame and that fault on Zhang and Rosie.
He's a child. Know. Yeah.
That's not his fault for how he was raised and what happened to him. You know, there is a human kid in there somewhere, so it's still sad to see something happen to him. So I don't know whether Becky and Wendy end up helping save this kid's life, or I'm hoping for some kind of redemption and like team up in some way. It's going to be hard. I mean, Rosie, especially if the kid dies, and it's like, that's Rosie's lost a child there. But then I guess mentally it depends on where that takes her. Does she put that blame on Becky, or does she rightfully then put the blame on herself and Zhang and what has all happened? Like, where is she mentally going to be because of that? But I'm hoping they find a way to just to save the kid and then move forward from there. Which last thing I wanted to mention about that wolf kid that has the tussle with Becky there. Fun fact I found out about the kid playing that role. The wolf boy that gets stabbed is actually played by a girl by the name of Amy Donald. And if that name sounds familiar to anyone, she also played Maya the Mockingbird last season. She was the bird hybrid there in the zoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same girl. She's an Australian actor, New Zealand, Australian, one of those actress and dancer. She's a really great acrobat and dancer, ballet dancer, modern dance and stuff. Who I didn't realize that last season when we were talking about her playing Maya, but she also played the character of Megan, the AI robot girl in the movie Megan that came out.
Oh, really?
She was the one where, because of her acrobatic and dance skills and stuff, she could crush those physical movements that were needed in that role. And I could tell here, looking at it now, knowing that, it was like, oh yeah, she can transfer some of that physicality to the role of this like wolf hybrid as well. Mm-hmm. You can see how she runs around on all fours and stuff, which if you saw Megan, she does some of that too. So same girl, which I thought was really cool.
Well, that is awesome. Good for her.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Yeah, all of that was so awful, and I felt really bad for Becky in that moment. I mean, I know I talked earlier about how uncomfortable she was making me in this episode, but at the same time, you know, Becky's history of how much she values hybrids and protects them, you know, I was looking online, and I saw so many comments just like, Becky killed a hybrid, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm like, well, number one, I don't think that he was dead at the end. Yeah. I do think, you know, he was struggling and definitely not looking good, but I think he was still labored breathing, you know, as they're trying to get him up to the little house up there. And yeah, it was hard to watch. I mean, you know that this is a child, that we know that, and Becky doesn't know that, but it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know, for sure, like I said, there were many hard things to watch in this episode. And of course, his mom, Rosie, when she sees that, of course she's upset.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, she can't be too surprised that Becky did what she did, because she was defending herself. These the hybrids, they have been raised to be extremely feral and vicious. We saw them kill Ven in the beginning of the episode, or at least I assume he died after that. I mean, and if he didn't straight away, then he probably didn't hang around for too long. Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, if somebody's capable of defending themselves, she shouldn't be too surprised, you know, by what happened, even though it's still awful. And again, like we said, you know, Bear and none of them knew that the, you know, there was hybrids after them. They thought it was wolves.
Yeah.
And it's sickening and it's horrible to imagine. And, you know, the Bear, had she known, you know, would have, maybe she would have tried harder to not actually stab in such a fatal area, trying to protect herself, you know, if she'd known that that was a hybrid, because she, you know, of how she feels about hybrids. And you could tell how horrified she was when she realized it. Once she had that moment and saw the eyes and realized, oh my gosh, that's not like an actual wolf animal, that's a hybrid.
Yeah.
And realized what she did. You know, she was absolutely horrified. So that was all very hard and difficult personally for, you know, for me to watch. So many hard things. It was like I'm crying, I'm laughing, I'm full of rage.
Yeah.
You know, all the things, so many emotions, but definitely felt bad in that moment. And I'm really, really hoping that that little hybrid boy does not succumb to his injuries.
Yeah.
That will be hard too. Okay. My next point, kind of a small point, but, and you know, you might have some thoughts too, but you know, like one of the things that definitely got to me was Wendy being left behind. And I think that's what she was going to do anyway. You know, I know Gus was thinking, oh, we're leaving them behind. But I was like, bro, Wendy was staying behind. You know, she was, if it hadn't happened when it did, you know, when Rosie showing up with, you know, her boys, and they hadn't been pushed into the situation, she'd been having a conversation with Gus, you know, letting him know that she was going to be staying. I was seeing little clues in some episodes, you probably did too, felt like little hints of how she kept referring back to the family and wonder what they're doing. And, you know, she just kept talking about them more and more often, talking about missing her mom. And I was like, oh boy, she's really feeling homesick. And valid. Totally valid. But I was like, oh boy, I don't know if she's gonna make this or not. But you know, it was easy to tell how much she's been struggling since they started this journey, and the little hints that we got along the way that she was probably not gonna keep going. But man, when she was, you know, waving to Gus and telling him like, go, and it's okay,
talk about, you mentioned earlier, like even on second watch, knowing what's going to happen, the tears still, that was my moment in this episode with that, is just, it broke me both times watching it, is Wendy signing, go, it's okay. And that, just that visual, I was like, oh my God, that is.
Yes. I'm tearing up right now, even just talking about it, because it's still, I mean, just had the second watch a little earlier. And oh man, that was hard. And Gus, you know, screaming from the boat, and he is so sad and distressed, and my heart's breaking for him, you know, that he's, this boy has been through so much, you know, and had so much loss. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen when he gets to Alaska and what's going to happen on this journey and how much more loss he's going to go through. And will he ever see Bear and Wendy again? You know, what's going to happen to them now that they're there with Rosie? And will they make it back to her family? You know, it's all these questions and, you know, possibilities and unknowns. And my heart was breaking for him, you know, because he had a nice little friend companion. You know, him and Wendy had become like brother and sister. And so my heart was breaking all around. That was hard. I was like, I don't know how much more I can take, you know, my emotions being pulled in so many different directions watching this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely the most emotional moment. Yeah. Is that go, it's okay. And then Bear following it up with that little salute to Jep and to Gus, just to kind of like, which I guess, you know, it was hard, but, and this is my last main point also, so I'm kind of just throwing
yeah,
it in with
do
you
it.
On there.
Go for it.
Is yeah, that like, as kind of emotional and tough as it was, I think I felt less sad about it because of the possibility that Wendy and Becky might still get a better journey together in the end of this. I don't know. They've got to survive and deal with Rosie and the boys first.
For sure.
But like, it seemed to be going that way, as you mentioned, with, especially after Wendy was, you know, talking with Coral and the way that she talked about the importance of family and taking the time to, you know, make sure you do what you can do with the people you can do it with. Like at that time, like, you know, if the world's ending, make sure that you're doing, you know, that you're happy with what you're doing there. And I think after that, she's questioning this. It's like, do I really want to get on this boat and take this trip to Alaska with these people that have been at each other's throats and all this? Is like, or she's been, you know, she's brought up those other hybrid kids, her siblings from the zoo, several times. And I think, yeah, she is missing them and she wants to go spend more quality time with them. And maybe even the opportunity to spend more time with her sister and get to know her better and spend more time is important to her as well. So I'm glad that Becky is there with her as well. But
yeah,
they end up being left behind. But like you said, I think even if the situation didn't become so immediate, which I love that, by the way, when they realize that Rosie's about to be there and they take off to go warn the others and it just pans up to that little like piece of art hanging on the wall that says "Act now, there is no later." I was like, damn, yeah. Damn right.
It was really good placement. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, I'm fully in agreement with you that I think Wendy was at a place where, because even Bear, before that radio thing comes in, Becky asks her, is just like, you know, do you still want to go? Like, she can tell that she's not sure about that, that she's really thinking about staying and maybe going back and trying to spend, you know, find her family and go back to them. And it seemed like Becky was okay with that and was willing to go on that journey with her instead of getting on the boat. So I don't feel like it was so much like, oh no, they got separated and left behind when nobody wanted that to happen. I do feel a little bit better about it because, like you, I feel like that was the direction it was going to go in anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I mean, I think she had that feeling, but I really think what pushed her to that point was that conversation that she had with Coral. Mm-hmm. When, you know, she was talking about her brother and she's like, you know, I really didn't know him that well. And by the time I made it home, he was already gone, you know, from the sick. Yeah. And I didn't even know he'd adopted a puppy, but, you know, there he was. And, you know, and I think Wendy was starting to think of, you know, her own relationship with Becky. Becky said it. She's like, hey, I know you don't know me that well, but, yeah, you know, you can talk to me about anything. So, yep, you know, I think that she was not only missing her the family that she knows, but also, like you said, wanting to maybe get to know the family she doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that's been going on, she hasn't really had an opportunity, at least not that we've seen, you know, to get to know Becky or having any meaningful conversations to try to get to know each other or build any kind of relationship, because everything has had this sense of urgency, you know, to it. There's just always been this mission and things that they've had to do or places to go and no downtime to really explore the fact that they're sisters. And yeah, I think it'd be great for Becky to, you know, talk about her family, because, gosh, Wendy was what, just a baby, mm-hmm, you know, and she's taken. So, you know, she doesn't know anything about her parents and about their family. I mean, there's so much that Becky could share with her, you know, and tell her about, you know, her biological family that she came from and them get to develop that relationship. And I wonder if that was what was kind of pushed her a little more to like making, or that decision that she made. I know we didn't get to actually see her say it, but I was like, that's what she's getting ready to say. And I think maybe that's what it was like, if what we're hearing is true, which again, I feel like, just side note, is that new information, this urgency that like there's days, maybe weeks?
Yeah.
You know, that
like, it kind of goes back to that first point I made where Singh is like very just like gung-ho on this, like, it's dire, everything's now, and it's like, we hadn't seen him like that before, really, but...
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I don't know how much of that, that do we trust or not. I mean, I feel like I do trust that he, at least he thinks he's right, that he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they have mentioned, you know, how, I think it was in last season, somewhere along the way, this doomsday strain and how quickly it's spreading, and it seems to be, like, the worst yet of, you know, a strain of the sick that they've seen. But I feel like that's the first I've heard that it's like, humanity only has days, maybe weeks. And I'm just like, well, that just kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But if that's true, if what they're hearing, you know, and Wendy believes that, she's like, I mean, that includes Bear, you know. So she could lose Bear very quickly and not even have an opportunity to, like, explore their relationship. I think she didn't want that to happen. And she also, I think, just really missed her family and wanted to get back to them. So, gosh, the kids are bringing the heartbreak.
Yeah.
This episode. Absolutely. That was hard.
To where, even, like I said, even, like, the lightness, it was definitely emotional and tough to see, but... there's that light side of it. It was like, I think that's the journey they need to go on anyway, and that's better for them, and that's what Wendy wanted. But then on the flip side of that, then it's like, still, then you look at Gus on the boat as he's screaming at the, and then even whenever they're, like, going away and he's got his hand just in the water, and, like, you can tell it's like leaving behind Becky and Wendy was soul wrenching for him. And it's just never fun to see Gus in pain, whether physical, emotional, anything. Like, you're just like, this kid's been through enough.
Yeah, my heart breaks for him. Just thinking of all the things that he's, you know, been through in his short little life. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just looking through my notes. I think those were, like, all of my big points. I've got a few notes. Do you have any other points that you want to talk about?
That's all of the main points as well. So I'm the same way. I just got notes left.
One other note that we haven't talked about that I'll just bring up was just, again, so many hard things to watch in this episode. And I mentioned that little hybrid girl at Zhang's.
Willow.
Thank you. I'm so bad with names. I did not get that down. But what the hell with Zhang and that freaking stem cell, like, device thing that she was. I was like, I can't watch this. I will yeet my controller and immediately turn this off if she's gonna do what I think she's gonna do.
That was
rough. A piece of garbage person.
Again, because Zhang is so cold that, like, watching that the first time, I was legitimately worried that whole scene that she was gonna do it. Like you're saying, I'm like, there's no way. And she really, there's no guarantee in my mind that she wouldn't just, like, kill that little girl. And I was questioning what exactly was the point of that scene, and I guess the best that I could come up with was maybe you have some, like, theory or thought to it also, but with Zhang, like, is she testing the loyalty of, like, her daughter and her, like, hands and the people around her? Like, they didn't try to stop her, so they're willing to do anything that she says they're gonna do. Like, is that, was it a test? Was that's what I'm thinking maybe that was, but I don't know. She's just kind of a psychopath.
I don't know any other word for it. I don't know. I mean, that makes sense if that's what she was like. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I thought it was interesting, though, that, you know, everyone seemed pretty uncomfortable with her doing that. Like, her, you know, hired hands there, whoever it was that hired or that gave her that device and was talking about it. And, you know, they're all just looking at her like, are you seriously, like, getting ready to do that? So I don't know if it was, like, her testing the loyalty of the people that work for her and including her daughter, or if it's maybe showing, because, I mean, it was hard to not notice the look of the horror on their faces. Like, are you really getting ready to do that? At least that's how I took it. And so is there going to be, like, they turn again, like, hey, stop, what the hell are you doing? Like, maybe they don't do it then, but are they actually going to do it, like, if it comes to it? Like,
yeah,
you know, this is horrible, you can't, and completely unspeakable, you can't do things like that, you know. And they try to stop her or something because she's freaking garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but
is it just some kind of power trip where she can kind of get off on the idea that she can scare people into believing that she will do something like that? Like, it's this, yeah.
I don't know how people follow someone like that. I mean, you know, take her out and take over is what I'm thinking. I mean,
right?
I'm talking about how horrible it is to kill people, and then I just say, take her out. But, you know, overthrow her and put her in freaking prison. You know, like I said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that far, but overthrow her, find some place to put her, and put all of this to good use. You know,
maybe in one of those kennels that that she was using for her grandchildren.
There you go. Stuff her in one of those freaking kennels. Treat her the way she's treated those poor boys. Yeah, that would be fitting, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't know what the purpose of that was. I was just, you know, like, you're not going to do this. This show has went to some dark, dark places, but I was really hoping that they didn't go that far.
Yeah.
But I'm worried when, you know, if she actually will in another episode or something, and what the purpose of it is for. What are your notes?
So another one with Zhang. We got, like, again, within the van with, it was kind of a weird, like, Jep and Becky and Sing all giving the, like, flashback or, like, story of Zhang, you know, while talking to Gus, and then you kind of get the voiceover with them, which is an interesting way to do it. But we learned a little bit more about Zhang. I mean, we knew, like, as, like, this, like, last standing warlord, and she, like, Becky knows the history somehow. She's like, yeah, when the Texas fell, she was the last of the, you know, southern ones, and she took over this whole place. Like,
she's got all the info.
Right. And then she owns, you know, runs the, like, dairy and agriculture and all of these things. But then the news, you know, Sing talks about, like, childbirth.
Yeah.
Like, she has, like, she's found a way to, like, kind of do something with that. And so she's been doing her own research and experimentation on pregnancies and childbirths and hybrids for quite a while, like, way before she even, like, teamed up with Abbott. So then it made me think, I was like, well, I remember the question we had last week we were talking about. I was like, that actually could maybe answer how she does know so much about the process and how long it takes for this or that. Is it because she's been kind of experimenting and researching and doing trials and stuff on pregnancy on her own for quite a while, it seems.
Yeah, there were definitely more answers, I feel, came out of that, too. Like, a maternity ranch? What the hell are you doing?
Right. That almost sounds like something people would pay good money for now. Like,
yeah.
It has a much less scary, you know, ominous sound to it pre-apocalypse in the life. Where, like, a maternity ranch, that sounds fun. That sounds like a cool thing. In this context of this show, it doesn't sound like a good thing at all.
Absolutely not. Because I'm like, what's happening to those hybrid babies that are that are being born? You know, that's just not a good world for hybrids under the best of circumstances in this world. But then when you've got someone like Zhang, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting.
A few other notes. They said we mentioned Ven. So luckily, Theo, his mom, his brother are all spared, it seems. But Ven was not so lucky. And I'm sort of not upset about that. I don't know. okay. Guy was kind of a dick anyway. Let's see. We get a little bit more in Alaska. Sienna trying to rally the people in the community to help find Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't get a whole lot out of that. Like, most of them seemed a little put off and by her, and also, like, just too scared to take any risks, which is really kind of shitty. Honestly, I was like, oh man, you've got a community of just, like, cowards up there. Just a bunch of terrible people. That's what you're dealing with. Got it.
Like I said, let the hybrids start taking over, because there are so few humans I'm seeing in this world that are worth saving.
I know. At least she gets a little bit of support and help from this guy named Odell that goes and gets in the big machine with her and stuff to help go look for Birdie. So that was nice. And then also we got an official answer to a question I had in like the first episode. In the dialogue of this episode, Nuka officially is half fox. They spelled that out. So there, I was like, okay, there's that.
It's been confirmed. She's so darn cute.
Yes. And then lastly, of course, is music. Music section, because I always point those out. I love the music in this show, especially this episode. I think this one is the best so far. It was a really great music section. So, of course, at the very beginning, while Rosie's waking up, tending to her children, before her terrible, evil mother shows up, Patsy Maples' God Bless This Guitar is playing on the radio. And then in the van, while they're gunning it to the coast to catch the whale song, was Enya Boadicea, which I had never heard that Enya song before, but now I'm obsessed with it. It's like, mm-hmm. there's no lyrics, it's just that like humming the whole time, but it's beautiful. Like, it adds so much to that scene that like, I give props to the music selection of the show a lot, but that one was like above and beyond incredible. Like, it really did change the whole emotion of everything. I was like, oh, I'm getting choked up just because the song they're playing is just perfect for what's happening.
Everything from Enya, I think, is just beautiful. Yeah, can't go wrong there.
And then, again, just what an episode for music. We get Fleet Foxes, White Winter Hymnal, which I love that song so much already. And I always love those kind of moments when I'm watching a show and a song starts playing, and then I'm like, and I just start singing along to the song as I'm watching whatever's happening, because I'm just, I was like, yep, I'm going to have that stuck in my head forever.
I love it.
Yeah, while they're doing this garden boat renovation, you just get a great song. I love that song. And again, because I watched the episode again today to do this, it's going to be stuck in my head all night now, and that's just how it goes.
Not a bad song to have stuck in your head at all.
At all. And then lastly, just a little bit of a clip of a song called Mouthful of Grass by Free, which I hadn't really heard of, but it was after the boat gets away and Rosie decides she's just gonna try beach house life with her kids for a while. I was like, no, I'm out. That's the song that was playing there. It's nice little folky music, but yeah, it was great. Great song choices, as always. Whoever the like song producer, the music producer for this show is just fantastic. Like, whoever's got the call on song choices.
Yeah, I don't know who's in charge of that on this show, but they do a fantastic job with their music selections. And I thought that last song was appropriate, you know, as Rosie's like, yeah, you know what, I'm just done. And I loved that because it was like when she heard the wind chimes. Yeah. And then she sees the house, and I think she was reminded of her trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed very artsy, like very. Yeah.
She had her own chimes, little, like, the chimes and trinkets and stuff that she had made. And
put So I think that was a little like, this is what I should have just done a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And just stuck with, you know, her life with her boys, and you know, and I think that was, you know, so I really liked that moment. I'm not letting her off the hook yet or anything, but I'm hopeful. Yeah. That she'll have a redemption in future episodes. Excellent. Any other notes or any other points that you want to share for this week?
That's all I got this week.
Awesome. Well, anxious to see what happens once they get to the boat in next episode. I'll have to watch that when we wrap up here. But let's hear from our listeners. As always, we've got some great loyal listeners that are so great about leaving us some feedback, and I'm excited to see what they have to say. Do you want to take the first one for me?
All right, first one coming from Maureen Favo says, God Bless This Guitar is a great starting choice for a boys/pack origin story. Season 3 is definitely focused on mothers and motherhood. Loved changing the Three Little Pigs story to a wolf protagonist. I think there's hope for Rosie from the start of this episode, even if we haven't seen it in real time. Is Mrs. Zhang the only person who sees opportunity when bitten by her grandson Bruno? Bear and Jep's relationship has transitioned to parents and caretakers of kids who are best friends. I'm kind of hoping we get to see when it turns into kids who are dating/in love. I don't know. I'm not sure where you're going with that exactly. I'm trying to think, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So Singh has lost it. He is a fanatic. He's totally messing with Jep's mortality concerns. I don't know many actors who can pull off Singh's transformation this realistically. So many emotions on the beach. Poor Bruno. Poor Bear. How long do you think it will take for Bear and Wendy to reconnect with Gus? As heartbreaking as separation is, I'm kind of happy for a couple episodes with multiple arcs or arches. Bear and Wendy can carry a story. Rosie and the pack can't yet because we don't know them, and the pack is scarier with the less that we know. Sorry to say this, but the whale song just sitting there is really very scary to consider. Yeah, had that same kind of thought. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like just nothing's going to go right. You know, it's there's going to be something bad. Alrighty. Thanks for that. Dawn Elizabeth says, what a tough episode. Ugh. When Becky and Wendy got left behind, I cried uncontrollably. I really didn't see that coming. What is going to happen to them now, especially since Becky stabbed the wolf hybrid? That fight was intense, and I was worried that we might lose Becky. I feel stupid to not have realized that the wolf hybrids were Rose's children, converted to the dark side. Perhaps there is hope for them. Rose was a good person before her mother got a hold of her. Now that she wants to spend time alone, maybe with Becky and Wendy's influence, she will revert. There is hope, right? I was very afraid that Jeppers was going to be the one who got left behind. He's a big dude to be in that small boat. Our group had better all get together again. On the lighter side, I love that Gus's antler was fixed with duct tape. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. Thanks for reminding me.
I did have a note about that, and I just kind of skipped over it. I missed it. Yeah, it was just... I mean, it was a small little thing of me saying, yeah, that I just thought it was really cute. But that moment was nice, so glad that you pointed that out.
Yeah. I love that. Another little heartwarming moment there. Mm-hmm. That just, you know, I didn't necessarily cry, but my heart swelled and just put a smile on my face and just see Gus's face light up like, oh, my antler's fixed, because he was so hard when he lost that. So, yeah, that was really great. I don't know, Dawn. You know, I'm trying to be positive, too. I see where you're going with all that, but, man, it's hard. This show doesn't make it easy to be like positive
right
at all. I hope they all get to see each other again.
All right, well, we have one email, of course, coming from Daphne, always writing in, which I always appreciate.
Yay!
She says, hi, Rima and Paik. Just when I think I can't detest Zhang anymore, she makes me even angrier. What she did to her daughter and grandchildren was truly vile and despicable in so many ways. I've wondered why Rosie is the way that she is. She needed her family in her time of need, and her mother took advantage of her and her sons. Aw, Bruno. The maternity ranch was also frightening, and I was scared for Willow that she was really going to kill her. There's always something about smelling the salt air that's like an aphrodisiac. I like that they captured it here in this episode. I continue to love looking at things through Gus and Wendy's eyes as they see things for the first time. It was a bit of suspension of disbelief that they were able to fix that skiff enough to go out on the ocean. A skiff is a term used for small rowboats. Where I grew up, they were used to get from the dock to where the lobster boats are moored in the deeper water. Boadicea by Enya has been used in shows before, but this was more intense. While it has an ethereal quality, it is also haunting. Even though I still don't like or trust Singh, I have to think that if he and Birdie work together, they could figure everything out. Looking forward to your thoughts, Daphne. A
lot of great thoughts there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to see what happens. All right. We also have a voicemail from Steve. Let's see what he thinks about this episode.
Hello, strange indeed. This is Steve, and this is for Sweet Tooth, Season 3, Episode 3, The Pack. Oh, so this is some kind of a flashback. Is it only 132 days into the crumble? So let's see where we go from here. So is this the birth of the pack? Is that what we're seeing here? The big, nice wolf and the pigs were the bullies. Oh, they look cute, even though, I mean, I know they're probably more wolf or dog than baby, but they look cute. The four little puppies there. Okay, whoa, Dr. Singh. What accelerated the timeline? I guess this Doomsday Strain? Is that right? Is this the right show that has the Doomsday Strain? I guess. Okay, what is this contraption that Zhang has that's going to do something to the hybrids and drills into them? No one wants to go looking for Birdie either, because there's a lot out there. Oh, they just missed the boat. And now it's turned into a episode of the A-Team. They're going to fix up this boat to get it on the water. Even a musical montage, repair montage. Oh, she said a pack, not the pack. Kind of a mic drop, though. This is Rosie and I guess the father of her sister's child and the pack are in the back of the truck. Oh, her radio broadcast found the hunters, not the whale song. Aw, she duct taped his antlers together. Okay, Dr. Singh, I don't think this is going to help you out by telling Jep that he's not in the dream. Oh, they got to go, but they got to leave Wendy and Bear. Aw. Okay, so what is Rosie going to do there with the pack by herself if she's taking sending texts back with the truck? And now we got Singh, Jep, and Gus in the boat trying to get to the whale song. What? The pack is attacking Bear? Oh, no. Okay, Bear killed one, but we know there's three others. Oh, but they've found the whale song, apparently. All right, we're not even halfway through the series yet, the season, the finale yet. Wow.
Thank you, Steve. Oh, yeah. That was a ride.
After just watching it again, talking about it, then hearing that, it's like, I just relive it one more time going through that live Steving. I love it.
I know. The ups, the downs, the ups, the downs. About had me in tears again. Reliving some of that. Thank you, everyone, so much for the feedback each week. Really, really appreciate everyone still writing in, sending in the voicemails. Keep them coming. We still have more episodes to go. And with that, next week, we will be covering season 3, episode 4, titled Beyond the Sea.
Somewhere waiting for me.
You know, I saw the title of that and I couldn't help but think of when we covered the last season of Black Mirror.
Same.
Which that episode of Black Mirror and that title was just so much. I think I was a little traumatized after that. So I'm hoping that this episode doesn't also leave me traumatized.
Yeah. Let's hope there's less of the things that happened in that episode titled Beyond the Sea in this one.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh. I was like, oh no, I had to double check it. I was like, wait, am I seeing the right title? Okay. So yeah, I don't know what, I don't look at the description, but obviously it's probably going to be something in regards to the whale song, since that's, you know, what they were approaching and they're at sea.
Yes.
So have to wait and see what happens when they get there.
All right. So if you would like to write in, leave us a message, voicemail, email, any of that for that episode next week, you can find all of our contact information over at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. A lot of activity going on. You know, June is a hot, hot month for releases. I mean, obviously we had Sweet Tooth come out, but House of the Dragon came out this month. The Bear on
excited.
Season 3 comes out. What is it, in a couple days?
It's soon.
Yeah, at least it's the day that we're recording this anyway. It's just in a couple of days. And our good friends, Lucy and Peter.
Yes.
So Lucy from, you know, if you've, you know, and who hasn't, you know, listened to, you know, Walking Dead cast, you know, with Jason, her and her partner Peter have put together a podcast for The Bear, and I think they just released their first episode, right, for their like thoughts and
they released an episode this week, which I listened to yesterday while running around, and it was awesome. It was incredible. Giving their, you know, kind of quick thoughts, kind of a recap, not full recap, but like some of their favorite moments and thoughts of the first two seasons of The Bear, kind of some of the hopes and things that they have for season 3. And then the thing that makes their podcast special is they have a cooking segment. So they will be
wonderful
playing around with and trying to cook different recipes and things from the show and things that like they're inspired from for that. And so I'm interested to see that. So they went with like Mikey's spaghetti recipe for that little recap episode, which was fun.
You know, you can't go wrong with with any of that. I'm wanting to make the omelet. And if you've seen the show, you know what I mean. Yeah, I haven't yet, but I'm dying to try that one.
Yeah, yeah. I remember binging through those first two seasons of that show. I came in late on them. I think a lot of it was you recommending it, plus some other people. And
yeah, I was pushing for it hard.
You really were. But then it was one of the shows where I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then it turned to like, let's just watch the first episode and see how I feel. And it went from that to binging both seasons in like 4 days. Like, it was just like, so good. So I'm excited for more of that. Of course, then I just had the biggest hankering for freaking Italian beef sandwiches. And luckily I have a local place here that does them really well. So they were able to help me with that.
Yeah. Wonderful show. If you're a foodie, you'll appreciate it as well. And yeah, you know, check out the coverage on Podcastica for House of the Dragon season 2 that's currently being put out, and for upcoming The Bear season 3. Lots of great goodness happening for sure.
Absolutely.
And what do you and Daphne have going on? Are you guys still on your break right
still
now?
On the break for a little bit. We will be back pretty soon.
Sweet.
I think kind of right at the beginning of July, so just another week or so.
Coming
we'll
up.
Be back soon. Plus we might have another special little project in the works that I can't say anything about yet, but it'll be out again soon. I think July 1st we're looking at launching, so just have to stay tuned. Maybe in the next couple weeks I can plug it and talk about it a little bit, but it should be fun, something different.
Oh, super secret surprise.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so go ahead, go to podcastica.com, like I said, because you can find all those other shows as well. And you can subscribe, leave a review, do what you can to give some love and support to the ones that you do listen to and enjoy, because all of those reviews and ratings and things always help us get out to more listeners and more people. That's the best way to spread the love, so we always appreciate that.
Thank you in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paige.
And Shay Weed is strange indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.